more long-winded than I am. I like to get the people back home before the meatloaf burns. That's my excuse. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. When I was younger, that used to be one of my most annoying verses in the Bible. I thought, a new day, let us rejoice and be glad. And I thought, so what? Just another day, blank, blank, blank. That's what I thought. But the more I go through life, the more I find each new day is precious. It's a gift of God. It's a mini miracle. And we do need to be grateful to God for each new day, and we do need to rejoice in it. This morning, I'd like us to look at Psalms 23, a psalm of David. It's a well-known verse. Maybe many of you could quote it from memory from childhood. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable to you, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. David writes his psalm out of his own experience. He writes very simply of the complete trust and confidence he has in the Lord. There's no deep theology or philosophy in these six short verses. It's a simple poem of reflection and meditation on God's care and love for his people. There are certain principles, truths, that remain true regardless of the time or situation they're in. The Psalms were written 3,000 years ago, but it reads like it was written yesterday. The people at that time lived whole families in one small 8-foot square home made of clay bricks. They ate out of clay pots, but we can read the Psalms and the whole Bible as though it was written yesterday, because the principles that are given are always true. They're as true today as when they were first written. David begins by writing, "The Lord is my shepherd." In Jesus' final teachings before he was arrested, he said several times, "I am the good shepherd." As a good shepherd cares for his sheep, so Jesus cares for each one of us. We have a Lord who loves his sheep. A good shepherd has to constantly watch over his sheep. Sheep are not like cattle or horses that can live out on the open range on their own. Sheep need to be shepherded and watched over constantly. They need to always be tended to, taken to water and to green grass. They need to be protected from wild animals because they aren't able to protect themselves. And Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd. And as the good shepherd, he watches over us and cares for us. And no one can take his sheep out of his hands. He never sleeps and is never careless in his watch. Jesus gave his very life for us. He loves us and cares for us fully. He's not a part-time hired hand, a shepherd who only cares about the money he'll receive. We're his total concern. His care for us is complete. He even gave his life for us. Sheep are actually very stupid animals. David was himself a shepherd. He knew how dumb sheep are, and yet he's not embarrassed to call himself a sheep because he knows his own need of a good shepherd. He knows without a good shepherd, he would be lost. Hebrews 2 tells us that Jesus was tempted and tested in all the ways that we are. He knows the concerns and needs we have, and because of this, he has compassion and understanding for us. He's willing to save and restore those who look to him for help. He is the good shepherd who has love and patience for his sheep. He comes gently and reassuringly to us, no matter where we are or how low we may be. The Apostle Paul said, "When I am weak, then I am strong." He meant he's looking to God for his strength and not his own. When he looks to his own strength, he's already fallen. We're never to be self-sufficient. When we become satisfied with our own strength, we're not being dependent on God. But as we rely on him, he gives us strength to carry on. Jesus gave a parable of a wealthy farmer who tore down his old barns in order to build bigger ones. The farmer was complacent in his wealth and power. He thought he had finally arrived. He had become self-sufficient, when in fact, all that he had was shortly going to be destroyed. We shouldn't depend on our own strength and abilities, but on the Good Shepherd. The sheep don't go where they want to go, but where the shepherd leads them. They don't insist on their own way, but allow the master to care and direct them. The church fathers from the earliest times have said that 9/10 of the Christian faith of becoming a follower of Christ lies in the will. We aren't to demand our will, but follow the will of the Father. And as we will to follow him, he offers us true life, true peace, true joy as the Good Shepherd. Psalms 103 says, "The Lord has compassion on his children. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we were formed. He remembers we are dust." This is one of the most comforting verses in the Bible. God knows we are dust. He knows how weak we are. He knows how so easily we fail and make mistakes, and yet he still loves us and cares for us. As the sheep are in need of a good shepherd, so God understands our needs and weaknesses, and he provides for us. He remembers that we are dust. We need to think not what do I want, what would I like to do, but rather what does the master want. This is what Christ meant when he said that we're to take up our crosses daily. We shouldn't demand our will, but pray that his will be done, as Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. We should be willing to allow him to guide us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, not our own. This is simple, straightforward obedience. It means I do what he asks me to do. I go where he leads. I say what he tells me to say. I obey his commands. We're promised in this psalm that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that God is always with us and he will comfort us. The phrase "through the valley of the shadow of death" can also be translated "through the darkest valleys." We will at times go through those dark valleys as long as we're here on earth. There will be disappointments and discouragements, but we're promised that we will be able to walk through them. God doesn't abandon us in the middle of the valley. We don't stop there. He walks us through. When we can put our confidence in God, when we're in the darkest valleys, when we can put our hope in him, then we can have a peace that all will turn out well because he does have control over all things. Verse 4 says, "Your rod and staff, they comfort me." I'd always thought the rod and staff were the same thing, a long stick shepherds used, but they're not. The staff is a long cane that shepherds would walk with and guide the sheep by, and the rod was a short, heavy club used in defense and fighting off wild animals. When David says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me," he's saying God protects him with his rod and guides him with his staff. God defends us and he shows us the way to go. There's a real peace and comfort in knowing that God is there to guide us in the everyday experiences of life. As Christians, we can always have that quiet comfort that God watches over us and cares for us. My mother's grandfather was the only chaplain in the Virginia prison system in the 1930s and 40s. He'd go around and visit the prisons, meeting the men and leading services. He would meet with every condemned man before he was executed. My mother would sometimes go with her grandfather. She said she could remember sitting in the car while he would go and talk to the men sitting in the fields. She can remember the prisoners singing, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms," and the other old hymns, all sung in beautiful harmony as they were working. Whatever our background, whatever we've done, we can have the comfort that the Lord is our shepherd, our good shepherd, when we simply trust in Him. Because He knows it, we know that He does care for us. We can have the quiet comfort wherever we are. And even if we're in the presence of our enemies, it's as though there's a table set before us. Having a table in the presence of one's enemies carries the idea of a victory celebration. We're promised that in Christ we can have victory regardless of the situation we're in. This psalm begins with "The Lord is my shepherd" and ends with "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There's a wonderful theme going through this short, simple psalm. We have a master who's always watching over us. He never tires and is never careless in his watch. He ensures that the sheep have the best care. There's no lack of anything. There's an abundance of green pastures. There'll always be the still, clear waters. There's freedom from fear and freedom from our enemies. There will always be quietness and contentment. Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, many years ago said, "Peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God." And this is what this psalm promises. We have God's presence regardless of the situation we're in. And we can know this because Jesus is our good shepherd, and this is His promise, and we can be fully confident that He is true to His word. A number of years ago, there was a prominent Baptist minister who had become a Christian as a young man. He was thrilled about his new faith, and he wanted to share it with others, but he was embarrassed and shy and didn't know how to share it. So he thought he would practice on Sandy, a young boy in the neighborhood who was mildly retarded. And this young man, John, presented the gospel to Sandy, and Sandy accepted Christ. From then on, whenever Sandy met John, Sandy would say, "Hi, John. Thank you, John." John later said, "When I go to heaven, when I'm standing on the streets of gold, the first thing I'll do is go look up Sandy. And I know what Sandy's going to say. He'll say, 'Hi, John. Thank you, John.'" God simply wants our hearts, all of it. He's not a hard God, an unforgiving God, but a God whose love for us is infinite upon infinite and is from everlasting to everlasting. And all we have to do is give our hearts fully to Him. We simply have to accept Him as the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your sure promises in this psalm that You will never leave us or forsake us, that You always stand guard over us, and we can always have that quiet contentment that You are with us. I pray Your special blessing on this church, for each member here, for each family, that You would bless them, that they would sense Your presence and Your care and Your love. May they each ever grow in the love and knowledge of Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Do you want, okay.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.